listeners, it's Take a Time Out with the Career Center. I'm your host, Lindsay Farah. Today we have our alumni resident, Pamela Kirkland, joining us. Pamela, it's so great to have you on this podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's just chat about 2023. How's it going for you so far? You know, do you have a new year, new you, resolutions, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy year, both personally and career-wise, and we're not even through the first month yet.
I know. It's insane. It's like, what happened? Like, right. where did 2022 go? Wait, hold on. Like, now, 2023, it's like, what's happening in the world, right?
Totally.
All right. So we're just going to get started with some questions that we have. We're really excited to have you on, and I'm really excited for the students to really hear about you and get to know you before they would ever maybe make an appointment with you as our heir in the Career Center. So my first question is, tell us about your time at Pitt. What did you major in and what did you minor in?
Yeah, so I was a political science and communication double major. I minored in Italian and I got a certificate in African studies. So we really did the most while we were.
Awesome. Italian. Oh my gosh. I would love to learn Italian. And I'm just trying my hardest to actually make that one of my goals for 2023.
Oh my gosh. Well, you totally should, because I loved the professors there. I'm actually still in touch with Veronica Dristis, who I believe is still in the Italian department at Pitt. She is phenomenal, both as a person and as a professor. And yeah, we still keep in touch. I keep up with her and her kids, and she keeps up with me and mine.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Yes, I will definitely have to get her contact from you. So but, you've had an awesome time. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I was looking at different schools, it's so funny because Pitt wasn't even really on my radar. And I came up to visit as a senior in high school. And just when we got to campus, I just loved that it was an urban campus, that you really couldn't tell the difference between Oakland and then being on Pitt campus. You were just in the middle of everything. And I really loved that I was going to be able to kind of be in the mix. A lot of the other schools I had looked at had, you know, a lot of really beautiful green space, but just something about still being in an urban area and being able to go to those really nice green spaces. Like, you've got the park right behind you. You've got the cathedral if you want to go lay on the lawn for a little bit. There's so many options. And so it was kind of like the best of both worlds that I got to experience. And yeah, it was amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, it is really nice. And you have Pitt too. That's right up there if you wanted to get like your flowers and walking in a nice like environment. And I think it's still free or somewhat free for students to explore. So, which is
that's really great. Cool.
Yeah. So I think there's like a student discount, which is awesome. So, well, I'm glad you picked the University of Pittsburgh. We're happy that you're an alumni. So kind of in that sense, I guess that was one of your favorite things about the University of Pittsburgh, or was it something else?
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely one of my favorite things. Another thing that I think you get at Pitt that I don't know if I would have experienced anywhere else. It was, of course, called Heinz Field while I was in school.
We're still trying to debate how you pronounce it. Is it Akershire? Is it? What is it?
right. Which took everybody by surprise.
Yeah.
But, you know, going to the football games and tailgating outside of Heinz Stadium, being in that stadium and, you know, spending so much time over there, it was just so much fun and just such a like foundational piece of my experience there, because I made so many friends at games, so many people I'm still in touch with. You know, you're out there freezing together, cheering on the team. Yeah. And it was so cool. It's such a cool stadium. You know, we also would go to games at Three Rivers, but just really being able to take advantage of the best that the city has to offer while being in school. The Andy Warhol Museum. It's just, there was never a shortage of things to do. And I really, really loved that.
Yeah. And it's still, I think that's still one of the really cool experiences. Like, how many of you, like, how many students can actually say, hey, we go down to a, you know, professional NFL sports stadium and that's where our team plays? I think
exactly.
That's a cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So Who was, so being at Pitt and your experience, it seems like you had an amazing experience, and there's always just positive things to say about the University of Pittsburgh. So what was one of your favorite faculty members and kind of why?
So I mentioned Veronica. She actually, I was going to do an honors thesis. I ended up not doing it, but I wanted to look at the country of Italy and perceptions of African-Americans in advertising there. And so she and I collaborated on that, which was just so, so cool. It ended up not being the thesis, but we did end up doing a lot of research on it. So she was super helpful and just really a great sounding board for that. Doretta Whalen, definitely another favorite professor. I met her while I was taking the History of Jazz course, which was taught by Nathan Davis, who another, like, can't even say enough good things about him as far as being an amazing professor. He loved that class. And you could tell just sitting in it and listening to him talk about it. Whatever you needed, if you needed some extra time, if you, you know, wanted to dig a little bit deeper on a topic he talks about in lecture, he would be there for you. And Doretta, I think, was one of the TAs at the time. But funny enough, I ended up taking voice lessons with her, which I didn't even know was something that Pitt offered.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we did some voice lessons, and I ended up getting into radio right after I graduated from college. And I remember when I started, people were like, "You've got such a great voice," and all credit to Doretta, because she really helped me understand how to use my voice well, both in singing, but also in speaking. And, you know, I haven't seen her in a very long time, but where I am now, I probably have her to thank, because she helped me tune that radio voice.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I think that's fantastic. So really, honestly, you had a well-rounded experience at the University of Pittsburgh. And I think that really goes to show like how you got to where you are now. So fantastic. I may need some voice lessons. Maybe you can help me out with my podcast sound, my radio sound. So there may be something in the future here. Who ever knows? That's awesome. So you started out at Sirius, right? And
yes.
That's kind of where you are. But your first TV professional role was with C-SPAN. And you know, as a college student, you're thinking, wait, why do I want to do C-SPAN? Like, you know, it's like yep. That channel where you flipped on in high school and you're like, what is this? Like, what is all of this happening? So can you tell us a little bit more about this role and how it led you to be a field producer for CNN?
Yeah. C-SPAN was my first TV job out of college. I had been working in radio and, you know, had always wanted to get into TV. I loved the idea of it. I didn't really know how I was going to kind of break in there. And so working at Sirius, I was working on, you know, political stuff. At the time, we were covering the 2008 presidential election. And I majored in political science. So that was something that was always really interesting to me. So in a really nerdy way, C-SPAN was kind of a really good fit.
I'm so glad it was.
Because I loved how like granular they would get into, you know, congressional proceedings, and this is how the Senate does business, and this is how the House does business, and just so many like rules and things that you had to learn.
It gets wild.
Yeah, it does. And I loved it. I mean, that job really gave me kind of a lot of foundational knowledge to understand how our government works better, why the processes are the way that they are, how they got to be that way, who the major players are. And so it really only helped me when it came time to start covering elections and, you know, talking about policy to understand, like, this is how things get done on the Hill, as nerdy as it was working for C-SPAN, but it was great. It really was a very cool experience. They had me up on Capitol Hill. We did some stuff from the White House. So you got to go all around Washington, D.C. and just see how things are done and how our country operates.
Yeah, and you got the inside scoop. That's how I always like to say it. Like, I have the inside scoop of how things work. Like, this is how it does. This is how everything falls into place, and how, you know, this gets here in this process, which is awesome. So, kind of really honestly, is this the role that kind of led you into being a field producer for CNN?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I've jumped around a lot in my career. I've gone from radio to print / digital at the Washington Post, TV with C-SPAN and PBS, and now CNN. But all of those jobs kind of prepared me for where I am now, in the sense that they all just kind of helped me become a better journalist. I've been really fortunate to work with some of the best people in the business who took the time to mentor me and answer my questions and help me develop and create a career that has been just so much fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what has been, and I think everybody really would kind of ask this question and be like on their, you know, they're on their edge of their seat waiting for you to answer this. It's like, what has been the most interesting topic that you've covered with CNN so far?
Ooh, so that's a really good question. And I had to think about it. But I've loved the election coverage. Most recently, we did the 2022 midterms. And so I was covering both the governor's race between Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams, and the Senate campaign between Senator Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. And when I tell you that was a crazy ride, that was a crazy ride.
I can only imagine.
I mean, we were in, and I've been in Atlanta for almost 5 years at this point, but we were in places in this state that I've never been before, trying to get, you know, public records and court documents and doing like real investigative deep dives into Herschel Walker and who he is, you know, doing deep dives into Senator Warnock and who he is. And it was a wild time. We were at rallies all over the place. We were at Senator Warnock's headquarters on election night, both times, both for the election and for the runoff.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a really fascinating race to watch and cover, and to speak with people just about how they felt, you know, when it comes to the economy and these issues that really hit home and determine, you know, how much money you're spending on eggs, for example.
Let's not get out there.
Seriously. So I'd say that, but also 2020, covering the protest in the wake of the killing of George Floyd was just a really different experience. I mean, between COVID and so everybody's working from home, you know, the fact that I think everyone was also a little bit stir crazy just from isolating and trying to keep safe and healthy, but just the remarkable number of people who came out and wanted to have their voices heard and were marching in Atlanta and DC and Minneapolis and LA and just all of these places, and being able to be out there and on the ground with them is just something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I think the whole world will never forget that. And I think the time with COVID and the time of really seeing what was going on in this country and the things, you know, it was just everybody was present to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I don't think people ever got down to just sit and watch TV or listen to the news. And I think that was the time to kind of be like, whoa, eye-opening, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you were able to actually dedicate your attention to it because there weren't a million other things going on.
Yeah, and it wasn't something that just got lost in the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, that seems like the most interesting topics and things that you've done. So what has been the most challenging about this field and your job?
Probably the travel aspect of it. You don't necessarily know what you're going to be doing day to day, which is both very cool and a little bit anxiety inducing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, okay, where am I going? What?
Right. For example, today there's a chance that I may be going to Memphis. I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm not. So you just never know what you're going to get. But at the same time, you know, reporting itself is a challenge. And luckily, you know, in most cases with that challenge comes growth. So if I'm reporting on something I'm not really familiar with, or maybe reporting about a space that I don't know a lot about, I'm challenged then to get read in and to understand, you know, what's going on here? What are the different sides that are at play? How do we dedicate balanced coverage to, you know, things like reproductive justice and just all of these different issues that are out there and top of mind right now? So it's a really challenging job because you're always kind of stretching and growing and learning and trying to figure out how to cover the story as best as you can.
And that is, you know, I would think that would be really stress inducing sometimes and anxiety. So my question too, is they tell you, hey, you need to go to Memphis and be there by the end of today. Do you just hop on a plane or do you drive? Like, how does that work?
So it depends on where we're going. Usually okay. It involves an airplane, but sometimes, always. Yeah. I'll give you an example. I had a coworker walk into the office. I said, hey, Kevin, how's it going? He's a field producer, just like I am. And he took his jacket off. My boss popped her head out of the office and said, hey, Kevin, we need you to go to Athens, Georgia. And he said, okay. And he put his jacket right back on. And he walked right back out the door.
Oh my gosh. That's so insane.
Yeah. So you have days like that, but you never know what the call is going to be. I got called to head to Florida for the Surfside building collapse, which was just so horrible to cover. But again, it's like, yep, I'm on a plane, I'm on my way. You have something that's called a go bag. So basically it's your suitcase that you just keep in your car. It's got everything you need in it, clothes. If you're being sent to a weather event, hopefully you've got your rain boots, maybe some waders in there, all your good rain jackets. I've gotten last minute calls to go to Iowa. So, you know, oh, it's negative 17. Okay, where are my good boots? Where are my hats? Where are my gloves? So you have kind of little packing cubes for different weather, depending on where you're going to be going, but you're always ready to either drive or hop on a plane as quickly as you can.
Wow, that's awesome. So have you ever gone internationally? Like, have they ever said you need to get over to, you know, London?
You know, I haven't, but the question has been asked. So the war in Ukraine last year, when it was first underway, everybody got the call to see, okay, who's available to go? Where are you going to be? Have you had your hostile environment training? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you really don't know where you'll end up going. I didn't end up going to Ukraine, I think partially because I was pregnant at the time.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, they were looking for people to raise their hands and say, yep, I can do it. I can go.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and you know what you said about the training, and I think that's really interesting, and to know, like, they will train you on how to handle certain situations, which I think is really great. And I think that is valuable too. They don't just tell you to go out in the field.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if they're going to send you out into something, even the protests, for example, I mean, for 99% of the time, they were completely peaceful, nothing happened. But sometimes at night, things would pop off, I guess, for lack of a better term. And so you would have that training, and you would also have the equipment with you, whether it be a gas mask or it's called a bump cap, which just looks like a regular baseball hat, but it's a little hard. So if you get hit in the head with something, the hope is that it hits that instead of your actual head.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going out there as prepared as you can be, and knowing that you really don't know everything that's going to happen. But the hope is that with the training, you can keep yourself and your team as safe as possible.
And that's all that is the biggest thing, is making safety first. So that's amazing. It sounds like your career has been extraordinary, and so many lessons and so many experiences and things that, you know, students probably are like, oh my gosh, how can I do this? How can I do like what you're doing? And, you know, you're an alumni in residence with our career center, which I think is awesome. And, you know, we're so happy, and so we feel so glad to have you. And, you know, what can students expect when they meet with you if they make an appointment? For your office.
Yeah, I absolutely love being an alumni in residence. I love that I have office hours and I can be available and accessible to, you know, as many students as possible, but they can really, I try to let the students guide the session. So, you know, I've done resume reviews and I'm more than happy to do that and kind of break down what your resume looks like, what you can add, maybe what you don't need. I've given career advice, tips on internships, whether that be internships in Pittsburgh, internships in the industry, internships other places in the country. And, you know, just advice about if you want to talk about the media industry as a whole, how to break into it if you're interested. So I like to keep my sessions really open-ended and just kind of cover whatever is most relevant or most helpful to the student.
Well, I think that's awesome. And I hope our students take value. I mean, we've always had extremely great feedback from students whenever they get to meet with you. So we hope we can continue that and have you as an alumni residence forever, as long as you're willing to, right?
I would love to do that.
Awesome. So any advice you wish to give the students listening to this podcast episode, do you have anything you want to tell them or something that you wish, you know, you got told when you were in college?
Yeah, I would just say, don't sell yourself short. If there is something you really want to do, just go for it. I mean, I think what I've learned in my career is that if you don't ask, you're never going to know. And the worst someone ever is going to say is no, no thanks. So if that's the worst answer you can get, what if they say yes? What if you get an opportunity that, you know, is once in a lifetime because you simply asked a question? And the other thing I like to tell students is to reach out to, you know, your teachers, your advisors, your friends, even after you've left Pitt. I mean, I mentioned Veronica Dristis and we're still in touch. I still talk to all of my old roommates. We're actually still really, really close. But you want to make sure that you build that network, because you never know what you might need from them later on. You may need a recommendation letter. You may need some job advice. You may need, I don't know, a friend, maybe. And it doesn't have to be, we talk about networking a lot. It doesn't have to be the super formal, you know, reaching out to so-and-so professor because you're looking for a letter. You can also just reach out to say hello. You know, friendships are as important in networking as the professional side of it. So, you know, keep in touch with those people because you just never know if you might end up needing them or maybe they end up needing you one day.
Yeah, I think that's 1,000% true. I definitely rely on my faculty and the people. Actually, I even rely on the career center that I had at Pitt Johnstown. So I'm a Pitt grad as well. And I went to Pitt Johnstown though. And I loved it. And I think building yourself and having those connections and knowing that you have people on your side to help you is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for the most part, I don't think there are very many people who don't want to see you succeed. So when you ask for help, most people are going to bend over backwards to be able to help you any way they can.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. It has been a pleasure and an honor having you on Time Out with the Career Center today. And students, be sure to reach out to her. If you have any questions, her office hours can be found on Handshake, and of course, connect with Pamela on LinkedIn as well. A special thank you to our partners, Aldi, Bear, Eaton, Enterprise, Norfolk Southern, and Williams for making this podcast happen. And as always, take a time out with the Career Center and hail to Pitt. Thank you so much, Pamela.
Thank you.